I felt that it was appropriate tonight to interrupt the series that I was preaching on the attributes of God. There's only one more sermon in it, but in the light of current events, I'm going to preach on another subject this evening. This morning, seven police officers and the chief inspector arrived at Tandragee Baptist Church. I'll not tell you all about it, but to cut a long story short, they issued cautions to four of the men, including the pastor and myself. So, I thought it was appropriate tonight, in the light of current events, to preach on what is a sinful government from the book of Proverbs, or if you prefer the title, which I'm going to put on the internet, Stormont, the law-breaking government. We're going to turn to our Bibles, to Proverbs and chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, please. We're going to read verses 12 to 16. Verses 12 to 16 of Proverbs 28. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rags, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over poor people. The prince that wanteth, and the Hebrew word means lacketh, understanding, is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Amen, and the Lord will bless the reading of that little section of his inspired word. The Bible is God's word on everything that we need to know in the area of faith and practice. And the Bible tells us God's word and in the area of government. It tells us about human government that, first of all, human government is not perfect. That is one of the things the Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs. Kings, princes, parliaments and senates, none of them are perfect. The Bible also tells us in this area to trust not in men, nor make flesh our arm. And it also says in the book of Proverbs that a big and cumbersome government means that a nation is sinful. So the question to ask then is, what is a good ruler or government according to God? And the answer is found in the scriptures. A good ruler, I have two sermons on this, but I'm not going to preach them tonight. A good ruler has certain attributes and characteristics in a number of areas. For example, in the area of sovereignty, the Bible teaches that a good ruler is someone who admits and confesses that they rule by God's consent. In the area of judgment or justice, the Bible teaches in Proverbs 16 and verse 10 that divine sentence will be upon the lips of the king. In other words, the ruler of a nation or a good government will judge righteously according to the law of God, on which the law of the British United Kingdom is based, of course. In the area of love, a good government or a good king or a good ruler, according to Proverbs 16 and verse 3, is, quote, a lover of good men. A good government will love good men and love the lips that speak righteously. In the area of wickedness, the Bible teaches that a good ruler And this is all in Proverbs, will scatter the wicked, will crush the wicked, will remove the wicked from power, contend with the wicked and not be allied with the wicked. And then in the whole area of speech, a good governor or a good king or prince will speak truth, not lies, and a good government will not be a covenant breaker. So a good ruler or a good government is very easily defined in the book of Proverbs, and it is observed in this. A good government will submit to God, so you have humility. A good government is just. A good government loves those that speak righteousness. A good government is not friends with evil. A good government speaks the truth. Also in attitudes, morals, friendship and allies in the area of the tongue. So a good government is known by these characteristics according to the book of Proverbs. Now, what is a bad government according to God? Well, a bad government is the opposite of a good one, according to the book of Proverbs. And it says in the passage that I read in chapter 28 and verse 15 concerning bad government or bad rulers, it says, as a roaring lion and a ranging bear, the word Hebrew word for ranging means rushing, running around, eager. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over poor people. A wicked ruler is a terrible curse. A wicked government is a terrible curse. They are oppressors of the poor. And the next verse goes on to say, the prince that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor. So, lacking understanding, in other words, being foolish and oppressing people, are the characteristics of a wicked government according to the Bible. We look at both those verses in a little bit, but first let me give you a few obvious points. A bad ruler or a bad government is the opposite of a good one. Let me give you a number of points. Firstly, a bad government does not regard God in their thoughts. Secondly, a bad government is unjust in their judgment. Thirdly, a bad government loves evil men. Fourthly, a bad governor or government or king gathers evil people around him instead of the just and righteous people. And a bad government are dishonest liars. That's 5 points, and I will add another three, but it's not all for tonight. Sixthly, a bad government forsakes the law it teaches in the book of Proverbs. Seventhly, a bad government oppresses people. And eighthly, a bad government will listen to lies. But let me give you just the first 5 points this evening. A bad government, according to the Bible, is a government that does not regard God. You remember Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. He is contending with Moses. Moses is giving Pharaoh God's message. God is speaking through Moses. Let my people go, says the Lord. What does Pharaoh say? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. That's his exact words in Exodus 5 verse 2. So here is a ruler who does not know God. I know not the Lord, in capital letters. I do not know Jehovah. Therefore, why should I obey his voice? I don't know him, nor will I let Israel go. Well, the Lord sorted Pharaoh out. You know the story. And Pharaoh came to do both, know who Jehovah is and let God's people go. But prior to this, please note, he is an example of a bad king, a bad governor. He regarded not God at all. The Psalm number 10 and verse 4 says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." And that is properly translated, God is not at all in his thoughts. He doesn't think about God at all. He has no regard for God. Who's that? The wicked. The wicked has no regard for God at all. Now, that's the first sign of a bad government. No regard for the Lord. Brethren, we see this plainly in our country, in our nation, the United Kingdom, do we not, for illustrated purposes. As our nation has become more pagan, our government has removed God more and more from school assemblies, from prayers, in council buildings, not only has the government attempted to remove God from public life and public schools, but they have attempted to replace God with some of the most horrendous sinful practices. It is obvious in the whole area of so-called sex education. The whole thing has utterly failed. That was brought in the late 70s, early 80s to reduce teenage pregnancies, and had the complete opposite effect of massively increasing teenage pregnancies. But that doesn't seem to impinge on our government at all, because they don't seem to understand facts. What they do has the opposite effect, and they keep doing it. It's obvious our rulers, our government, does not regard God at all in their hearts. God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not fornicate, thou shalt not be perverse." He condemns all these things in the Bible. Our government has no regard for God at all. How many doctors and nurses have been disciplined for mentioning God at work? Some even for wearing a wee cross necklace. That is not allowed. And yet other religions are allowed to wear things like tea towels on their head. Muslims are allowed to go out of the factories a number of times every day to a special room to face Easter or whatever they do and pray. I wonder what would happen if Christians did that. They'd probably be sacked. Our government has no regard for the true God at all, because we are ruled by those that are wicked. Secondly, a bad government, according to the book of Proverbs, is unjust in its judgment. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, in verse 10 and 11, let me read it to you. "A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work." In other words, a ruler, a government, should judge according to the word of God, should not cheat, should not tamper with the weights, as they used to use in the markets. What about our leaders? Are they just in their judgment? Look at the things our government has brought out in the last 20 years, the legislation. Perverse. They are totally perverse in their judgment. Take, for example, let me give you an example. This is from a number of years ago now, probably about 10 years ago. Prince Charles, what's his judgment like? His sense of justice. His idea is keeping the country green, isn't it? The champion of the countryside, he was called in the press, Mail Online. He frequently attacks those who cut down rainforests in other countries and condemns building on good ground and so on. But is he just in his judgment, this prince, do you think? Does he apply the same judgment to himself? Meal Online, 27th July 2013. How Prince Charles, the Green Champion, is concreting over the countryside to pay for his lavish lifestyle. Oh, this is some judgment. The timing couldn't be worse. Hardly has Prince Charles finished publicly intoning his familiar mantra about protecting the countryside than his duchy in Cornwall is revealed to be doing a feasibility study on whether to build a vast housing estate on some of the country's most cherished pastures. Last Sunday, Charles reminded millions of viewers on BBC One's Country File programme that it was important to work in harmony with nature. So why is his duchy, whose profits from the land, just from that one duchy, give him an income of $18.3 million in 1 year, risking accusations by building 1,000 houses on perfectly good countryside? And on it goes. It's just condemning. I'll not read any more. It's no point in reading too much. The ruling applies to others. He doesn't apply to himself. What he condemns others for, he himself does far worse to supplement his income. He is unjust in his judgment. It's not fair. Now, I'm not saying this because I don't like the royal family, although I have lost respect for them, I must confess, in the last couple of decades, because of all the adultery and divorce and lies and greed and covenant breaking and oath breaking, even by the Queen. But I'm mentioning this because it's an example of unjust judgment. It's okay to condemn other people in other countries for cutting down rainforests who are doing that just to get enough money to live and a house to live in, but when it comes to our prince, he will build 1,000 homes on his property to supplement his £18.5 million a year income. He's very biased and unjust in his judgment. Unfair. Well, he's not the only one. Sure he's not. Not the only one. Are we government here in Stormont? Arlene Foster? Michelle O'Neill? What's their judgment like? Oh, they have decided to close down the public worship of God against the law, by the way, because Article 61 of the Magna Carta plainly states that which by the way was reinstated in the year 2001, plainly states that church is essential and that it is free from interference from government and rulers. But they decide, these two comedians on the Circus on the Hill decide to close churches and public worship. What's their against the word and will of God? What type of judgment is that? Unjust, sinful in their judgment, and they are in breach of breaking the law of God in their judgment, and they are in breach of the law of the United Kingdom in their judgment. Thirdly, bad government are lovers of evil men. What God in his word calls evil, wicked, sin, a bad government loves that type of thing, legislates for it, promotes it, and exalts it. Immorality, perversion, drug-taking, materialism, greed, pride. Our leaders love pride and boastfulness. They love rich materialism. They love the perverse. They love, according to, quote, Martin Lloyd-Jones, the poor criminal. Don't they? That's why we have them in Stormont. They love the poor criminal. They do not love those that speak righteousness, do they? They love evil men. They don't love those who speak the truth. That's one of the symptoms of a bad government. They love evil men, according to the book of Proverbs. Parts of the Bible in our nation they want to criminalize as hate speech because they love evil men. The fourth point I want to give you this evening, brothers and sisters, is that a bad government gathers wicked people around them. It's the opposite to Proverbs 20 and verse 26. It says there, a good king scatters the wicked, but a bad king or a bad ruler gathers the wicked. The complete opposite. Now, I don't need to labour this point. Sure, I don't. It was illustrated in the year 2013 by our Prime Minister then, David Cameron, who holds a party every year for sodomites in number 10 Downing Street. He loves the wicked. He loves sinful. He loves the perverse. Our government gathers the wicked. Our government puts in power the wicked here in Ulster. Our government agrees with wickedness, is allied to wickedness, exalts wickedness according to what God defines as wickedness. What our government calls good, God calls wickedness, and what God calls wickedness, our government calls good. Fifthly, another sign of a bad government, according to the book of Proverbs, is that they are dishonest and they are liars. It is an abomination for a prince to commit wickedness, the Bible says. What do we have in our governments today, in our nation? Liars, spin doctors, tax dodgers. Do they like the truth? Do they speak the truth? No, our politicians lie as easily as they can breathe. And they do it all the time. Just listen to them on the news, then listen to them next week on the news. There's all the evidence you ever want. They lie that much and they contradict themselves. What would happen if you and I fiddled our tax books? What would happen if we didn't pay the tax we owed? We'd be taken to court, charged, and put in jail. Do you know that Prince Charles pays a lower tax rate than his servants? He refers to his duchy as a corporation, a property empire, and he pays 23.6% tax, total tax that is, in the year, whereas the average person in the United Kingdom pays 38% tax. Now that was in 2013, so way up higher than that now. Is that right? Or is that deceitfulness? Is it bearing false witness? Is it lying? Of course it is. He lies on his tax form. What about Theresa May and David Cameron before her and our current Prime Minister Boris Johnson? What did they all say? We will deliver Brexit. Have they done it yet? No, because they're liars. They lie all the time. They lie after lie after lie. That's the characteristic of a wicked ruler. They are disobedient liars. That's what God says. Now let me conclude. Maybe the next time I come, I may not, but we'll see what, if you fancy it. I'll give you the next 3 points on what a bad government is. But let me summarise just for this evening. What is a bad government, according to God? It's a government, firstly, that does not regard God. Secondly, they are unjust in their judgment. Thirdly, they love evil men. Fourthly, they gather the wicked around them. And fifthly, they are dishonest liars. That's just stating the obvious, isn't it? If a good government or a good ruler regards God, is just, loves those who speak the truth, scatters the wicked and speak the truth themselves, then therefore an evil government or a wicked government or a sinful government does not regard God, are unjust, love evil men, gather wicked around them and tell lies. Which begs the obvious question, what are our rulers and our government according to God as he reveals it in the Bible? Our government, our queen, our princes, our bad, wicked rulers. Stormont is full of wicked rulers. We must face it. People, the state our country's in is terrible. Let us trust God. It's now the time to trust him more and more and pray to the Lord. Remember and have confidence in him, because even in these dark days, he is in control. As with the Christians in the Old Testament church, and when the Philistines were around and the Assyrian Empire and Egypt and Babylon, God is working his purposes out. He always does. Both for the pagan nations and for the good of his people. And if anyone listening tonight to the recording is not a Christian, let me tell you this. All rulers and government, kings and queens, presidents, prime ministers, will all be judged by God for every word they've ever spoken, every lie they've ever told, every sin they've ever committed. But so will you. So will you. And on that day, it will not matter what your opinion of Arlene Foster is, or your opinion of Michelle O'Neill. The only thing that will matter on that day is, are your sins atoned for, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him? Are your sins pardoned because you're trusting in Jesus Christ? That, my friends, my brothers and sisters, are what the Bible says, what God says a wicked government are. I want to finish, because if I could speak to those in Stormont, which of course I never could, I would say this to them. With all my heart, and I'm just quoting now, I would say this to them as I close, in the words of Oliver Cromwell when he was closing the Rump Parliament. It is high time, he said, for me to put an end to your sitting in that place, which you have dishonoured by your contempt of all virtue and defiled by the practice of every vice. You are a factitious crew and enemies of all good government. You are like a mercenary pack, wretches, who like Esau would sell the country for a mess of pottage, and like Judas would betray your God for silver and gold. Is there a single virtue, Oliver Cromwell said to the politicians, is there a single virtue now remaining among you? Is there any vice that you do not possess? You have no more religion than a horse. Gold is your God. Which of you have not bartered your conscience for bribes? Is there a man among you that has at least any care for good government? You sordid prostitutes, he goes on, you have defiled this place and turned the Lord's temple into a den of thieves by your immoral principles and wicked practices. You are grown intolerably odious to the whole nation. You were deputed here by the people to get grievances redressed, and you yourself have become the greatest grievance. Your country therefore called on me, says Oliver Cromwell, to cleanse this Augean stable by putting a final period on your odious proceedings in this house, by God's help and strength I am now to do. I command you therefore, on the peril of your lives, to depart immediately from this place, Get you out and make haste, ye venal slaves, be gone. So take away the shining bauble and lock the doors. In the name of God, go. Our government in Stormont has legislated against God and are guilty of all those sins as well. And they deserve to hear those words, because according to the God of the Bible, they are a wicked, sinful government. Brethren, continue in prayer that God will turn the whole situation around. Amen. And the Lord bless you.